Chapter 17. Then, write to me, sirs. Be sure do by the time this side is done, and I'll keep t'other side for the answer. So I'll go right to the Bishop of Clare. Good morrow, sirs. Night. I dined today at Mrs. Van Omri's, being a rainy day, and Lady Betty Butler, knowing it, sent to let me know she expected my company in the evening, where the Vans, so we call them, were to be. The Duchess, 5, and they do not go over this summer with the Duke, so I go to bed. 2. This rainy weather undoes me in coaches and chairs. I was traipsing today with your Mr. Stern, to go along with them 2 more, 6, and recommend his business to the Treasury. Stern tells me his dependence is wholly on me, but I have absolutely refused to recommend it to Mr. Harley, because I have troubled him lately so much with other folks' affairs, and besides, to tell the truth, Mr. Harley told me he did not like Stern's business. However, I will serve him, because I suppose M.D. would have me. But, in saying his dependence lies wholly on me, he lies, and is a fool. I dined with Lord Abercorn, whose son Peasley, 7, will be married at Easter to £10,000. 3. I forgot to tell you that yesterday morning I was at Mr. Harley's levee. He swore I came in spite, to see him among a parcel of fools. My business was to desire I might let the Duke of Ormond know how the affair stood of the first fruits. He promised to let him know it, and engaged me to dine with him today. Every Saturday, Lord Keeper, Secretary St. John, and I dine with him, and sometimes Lord Rivers, and they let in none else. Patrick brought me some letters into the park, among which one was from Walls, and t'other, yes, faith, t'other was from our little M.D., N. 111. I read the rest in the park, and M.D.'s in a chair as I went from St. James to Mr. Harley, and glad enough I was, faith, to read it, and see all right. Oh, but I won't answer it these 3 or 4 days at least, or maybe sooner. And I silly? Faith, your letters would make a dog silly, if I had a dog to be silly, but it must be a little dog. I stayed with Mr. Harley till past 9, where we had much discourse together after the rest were gone, and I gave him very truly my opinion where he desired it. He complained he was not very well, and has engaged me to dine with him again on Monday. So I came home afoot, like a fine gentleman, to tell you all this. 4. I dined today with Mr. Secretary St. John, and after dinner he had a note from Mr. Harley that he was much out of order. 8. Pray God preserve his health, everything depends upon it. The Parliament at present cannot go a step without him, nor the Queen neither. I long to be in Ireland, but the Ministry beg me to stay. However, when this Parliament, Lurie 9, is over, I will endeavor to steal away, by which time I hope the first fruit business will be done. This kingdom is certainly ruined as much as was ever any bankrupt merchant. We must have peace, let it be a bad, or a good one, though nobody dares talk of it. The nearer I look upon things, the worse I like them. I believe the Confederacy will soon break to pieces, and our factions at home increase. The Ministry is upon a very narrow bottom, and stand like an isthmus, between the Whigs on one side, and violent Tories on the other. They are able seamen, but the tempest is too great, the ship too rotten, and the crew all against them. Lord Somers has been twice in the Queen's closet, once very lately, and your Duchess of Somerset, 10, who now has the key, is a most insinuating woman, and I believe they will endeavor to play the same game that has been played against them. I have told them of all this, which they know already, but they cannot help it. They have cautioned the Queen so much against being governed, that she observes it too much. I could talk till tomorrow upon these things, but they make me melancholy. I could not but observe that lately, after much conversation with Mr. Harley, though he is the most fearless man alive, and the least apt to despond, he confessed to me that uttering his mind to me gave him ease. 5. Mr. Harley continues out of order, yet his affairs force him abroad. He is subject to a sore throat and was cupped last night. I sent and called two or three times. I hear he is better this evening. I dined today in the city with Dr. Friend at a third body's house, where I was to pass for somebody else, and there was a plague I silly just carried on that made me sick of it. Our weather grows fine, and I will walk like chamomile. And pray walk you to your deans, or your stoits, or your manlies, or your walls. But your new lodgings make you so proud, you will walk less than ever. Come, let me go to bed, sirs. 6. Mr. Harley's going out yesterday has put him a little backwards. I called twice and sent, for I am in pain for him. Ford caught me and made me dine with him on his opera day, so I brought Mr. Lewis with me and sat with him till 6. I have not seen Mr. Addison these 3 weeks. All our friendship is over. I go to no coffee house. I presented a parson of the Bishop of Clars, one Richardson, 11, to the Duke of Ormond today. He is translating prayers and sermons into Irish, and has a project about instructing the Irish in the Protestant religion. 7. Morning. Faith, a little would make me, I could find in my heart, if it were not for one thing, I have a good mind, if I had not something else to do, I would answer your dear saucy letter. Oh, Lord, I am going awry with writing in bed. Oh, Faith, but I must answer it, or I shan't have room, for it must go on Saturday, and don't think I will fill the third side, I ain't come to that yet, young women. Well then, as for your Burnage, I have said enough. I writ to him last week. Turn over that leaf. Now, what says M.D. to the world to come? I tell you, Madam Stella, my head is a great deal better, and I hope will keep so. How came yours to be 15 days coming, and you had my 15th in 7? Answer me that, rogues. Your being with Goody Walls is excuse enough. I find I was mistaken in the sex, 'tis a boy. 12. Yes, I understand your cipher, and Stella guesses right, as she always does. He 13 gave me all sadnickel boin fan reufane doid by enoughned. 14, which I sent him again by Mr. Lewis, to whom I writ a very complaining letter that was showed him, and so the matter ended. He told me he had a quarrel with me. I said I had another with him, and we returned to our friendship, and I should think he loves me as well as a great minister can love a man in so short a time. Did not I do right? I am glad at heart you have got your palsy dash water. 15. Pray God Almighty it may do my dearest little Stella good. I suppose Mrs. Edgeworth set out last Monday se'nnight. Yes, I do read the examiners, and they are written very finely, as you judge. I do not think they are too severe on the Duke. 16. They only tax him of avarice, and his avarice has ruined us. You may count upon all things in them to be true. The author has said it is not Prior, but perhaps it may be Atterbury. Now, Madam Dingley, says she, 'tis fine weather, says she. Yes, says she, and we have got to our new lodgings. I compute you ought to save £8 by being in the others 5 months, and you have no more done it than 8,000. I am glad you are rid of that squinting, blinking Frenchman. I will give you a bill on Parvisel for £5 for the half year. And must I go on at 4 shillings a week, and neither eat nor drink for it? Who the devil said Atterbury and your dean were alike? I never saw your chancellor, nor his chaplain. The latter has a good deal of learning, and is a well-wisher to be an author. Your chancellor is an excellent man. As for Patrick Spurd, he bought him for his tameness, and is grown the wildest I ever saw. His wings have been quilled thrice, and are now up again. He will be able to fly after us to Ireland, if he be willing. Yes, Mrs. Stella, Dingley writes more like presto than you. For all you superscribed the letter, as who should say, why should not I write like our presto as well as Dingley? You with your awkward SS. 17. Cannot you write them thus, SS? No, but always SSS. Spiteful sluts, to affront Presto's writing, as that when you shut your eyes you write most like Presto. I know the time when I did not write to you half so plain as I do now, but I take pity on you both. I am very much concerned for Mrs. Wall's eyes. Wall says nothing of it to me in his letter dated after yours. You say, if she recovers, she may lose her sight. I hope she is in no danger of her life. Yes, Ford is as sober as I please. I use him to walk with me as an easy companion, always ready for what I please, when I am weary of business and ministers. I don't go to a coffee house twice a month. I am very regular in going to sleep before 11. And so you say that Stella is a pretty girl, and so she be, and methinks I see her just now as handsome as the day is long. Do you know what? When I am writing in our language, I make up my mouth, just as if I was speaking it. I caught myself at it just now. And I suppose Dingley is so fair, and so fresh as a lass in May, and has her health, a nose clean. In your account you sent, do you reckon as usual from the 1st of November 18, was 12 a month? Poor Stella, will not Dingley leave her a little daylight to write to presto? Well, well, we'll have daylight shortly, spite of her teeth. And Zoo 19, must Cly Leal and heal again. Must Loom imitate PDFR, pay? Is, and so La shall. And so Leal's fully readle. Dude Mallow. At night. Mrs. Barton sent this morning, to invite me to dinner, and there I dined, just in that genteel manner that MD used, when they would treat some better sort of body than usual. 8. Oh dear MD, my heart is almost broken. You will hear the thing before this comes to you. I read a full account of it this night to the Archbishop of Dublin, and the Dean may tell you the particulars from the Archbishop. I was in a sorry way to write, but thought it might be proper to send a true account of the fact, for you will hear a thousand lying circumstances. It is of Mr. Harley's being stabbed this afternoon, at 3 o'clock, at a committee of the council. I was playing Lady Catherine Morris's 20 cards, where I dined, when young Arundel, 21, came in with the story. I ran away immediately to the secretary, which was in my way. No one was at home. I met Mrs. St. John in her chair, as he had heard it imperfectly. I took a chair to Mr. Harley, who was asleep, and they hope in no danger, but he has been out of order, and was so when he came abroad today, and it may put him in a fever. I am in mortal pain for him. That desperate French villain, Marquis de Guiscard, 22, stabbed Mr. Harley. Guiscard was taken up by Mr. Secretary St. John's warrant for high treason, and brought before the Lords to be examined. There he stabbed Mr. Harley. I have told all the particulars already to the Archbishop. I have now, at 9, sent again, and they tell me he is in a fair way. Pray pardon my distraction. I now think of all his kindness to me. The poor creature now lies stabbed in his bed by a desperate French popish villain. Good night, and God preserve you both, and pity me, I want it. 9. Morning, 7, in bed. Patrick is just come from Mr. Harley's. He slept well till 4, the surgeon's at 23, up with him. He is asleep again. He felt a pain in his wound when he waked. They apprehend him in no danger. This account the surgeon left with the porter, to tell people that send. Pray God preserve him. I am rising, and going to Mr. Secretary St. John. They say Guiscard will die with the wounds Mr. St. John and the rest gave him. I shall tell you more at night. Night. Mr. Harley still continues on the mending hand, but he rested ill last night, and felt pain. I was early with the secretary this morning, and I dined with him, and he told me several particularities of this accident, too long, too late now. Mr. Harley is still mending this evening, but not at all out of danger, and till then I can have no peace. Good night, etc., and pity presto. 10. Mr. Harley was restless last night, but he has no fever, and the hopes of his mending increase. I had a letter from Mr. Walls, and one from Mr. Burnage. I will answer them here, not having time to write. Mr. Walls writes about three things. First, about £100 from Dr. Raymond, of which I hear nothing, and it is now too late. Secondly, about Mr. Clements. 24, I can do nothing in it, because I am not to mention Mr. Pratt, and I cannot recommend without knowing Mr. Pratt's objections, whose relation Clements is, and who brought him into the place. The third is about my being godfather to the child. 25, that is in my power, and, since there is no remedy, will submit. I wish you could hinder it, but if it can't be helped, pay what you think proper, and get the provost to stand for me, and let his Christian name be Harley, in honor of my friend, now lying stabbed and doubtful of his life. As for Burnage, he writes me word that his colonel has offered to make him captain lieutenant for £100. He was such a fool to offer him money without writing to me till it was done, though I have had a dozen letters from him. And then he desires I would say nothing of this, for fear his colonel should be angry. People are mad. What can I do? I engaged Colonel Disney, who was one of his solicitors, to the secretary, and then told him the story. He assured me that Fielding, Burnage's colonel, said he might have got that sum, but, on account of those great recommendations he had, would give it him for nothing. And I would have Burnage write him a letter of thanks, as of a thing, given him for nothing, upon recommendations, etc. Disney tells me he will again speak to Fielding, and clear up this matter. Then I will write to Burnage. A pox on him for promising money till I had it promised to me, and then making it such a ticklish point, that one cannot expostulate with the colonel upon it. But let him do as I say, and there is an end. I engaged the Secretary of State in it, and am sure it was meant a kindness to me, and that no money should be given, and £100 is too much in a Smithfield bargain. 26, as a Major General told me, whose opinion I asked. I am now hurried, and can say no more. Farewell, etc. etc. How shall I superscribe to your new lodgings, pray, madams? Tell me but that, impudence and saucy face. Are not you saucer boxes to write eel 27, like Presto? Oh, poor Presto! Mr. Harley is better tonight, that makes me so pert, you saucy Gog and Magog. Letter 18. London, March 10, 1710-11. Pretty little MD must expect little from me till Mr. Harley is out of danger. We hope he is so now, but I am subject to fear for my friends. He has a head full of the whole business of the nation, was out of order when the villain stabbed him, and had a cruel contusion by the second blow. But all goes on well yet. Mr. Ford and I dined with Mr. Lewis, and we hope the best. 11. This morning Mr. Secretary and I met at court, where he went to the Queen, who is out of order, and a gush. I doubt the worst for this accident to Mr. Harley. We went together to his house, and his wound looks well, and he is not feverish at all, and I think it is foolish in me to be so much in pain as I am. I had the penknife in my hand, which is broken within a quarter of an inch of the handle. I have a mind to write, and publish an account of all the particularities of this fact. 1. It will be very curious, and I would do it, when Mr. Harley is past danger. 12. We have been in terrible pain today about Mr. Harley, who never slept last night, and has been very feverish. But this evening I called there, and young Mr. Harley, his only son, tells me he is now much better, and was then asleep. They let nobody see him, and that is perfectly right. The Parliament cannot go until he is well, and are forced to adjourn their money businesses, which nobody can help them in. Pray God preserve him. 13. Mr. Harley is better today, slept well all night, and we are a little out of our fears. I send and call 3 or 4 times every day. I went into the city for a walk, and dined there with a private man, and coming home this evening, broke my shin in the Strand over a tub of sand left just in the way. I got home dirty enough, and went straight to bed, where I have been cooking it with gold beater's skin, and have been peevish enough with Patrick, who was near an hour bringing a rack from next door. It is my right shin, where never any humor fell when odor used to swell, so I apprehend it less. However, I shall not stir till 'tis well, which I reckon will be in a week. I am very careful in these sort of things, but I wish I had Mrs. J.S. Water. 2. She is out of town, and I must make a shift with alum. I will dine with Mrs. Van Omri till I am well, who lives but 5 doors off, and that I may venture. 14. My journals are like to be very diverting. Now I cannot stir abroad, between accounts of Mr. Harley's mending, and of my broken shin. I just walked to my neighbor Van Omri at 2, and came away at 6, when little Harrison the tailor came to me, and begged me to dictate a paper to him, which I was forced in charity to do. Mr. Harley still mends, and I hope in a day or two, to trouble you no more with him, nor with my shin. Go to bed and sleep, sirs, that you may rise tomorrow and walk to Donnybrook, and lose your money with Stoyt and the Dean. Do so, dear little rogues, and drink Presto's health. Oh pray, don't you drink Presto's health sometimes with your deans, and your Stoyts, and your Walls, and your Manleys, and your everybodies. Pray now? I drink MDs to myself 100,000 times. 15. I was this morning at Mr. Secretary St. John's for all my shin, and he has given me for young Harrison the tailor the prettiest employment in Europe, secretary to my Lord Raby, 3, who is to be ambassador extraordinary at The Hague, where all the great affairs will be concerted. So we shall lose the tailors in a fortnight. I will send Harrison tomorrow morning to thank the secretary. Poor Biddy Floyd, 4, has got the smallpox. I called this morning to see Lady Betty Germain, and when she told me so, I fairly took my leave. I have the luck of it. 5, for about 10 days ago I was to see Lord Carteret. 6, and my lady was entertaining me with telling of a young lady, a cousin, who was then ill in the house of the smallpox, and this instead. It was near Lady Betty's, and I fancy Biddy took the fright by it. I dined with Mr. Secretary, and a physician came in just from Giscard, who tells us he is dying of his wounds, and can hardly live till tomorrow. A poor wench that Giscard kept, sent him a bottle of sack, but the keeper would not let him touch it, for fear it was poison. He had 2 quarts of old clotted blood, come out of his side today, and is delirious. I am sorry he is dying, for they had found out a way to hang him. He certainly had an intention to murder the Queen. 16. I have made but little progress in this letter for so many days, thanks to Giscard and Mr. Harley, and it would be endless to tell you all the particulars of that odious fact. I do not yet hear that Giscard is dead, but they say it is impossible he should recover. I walked too much yesterday for a man with a broken shin. Today I rested, and went no farther than Mrs. Van Omri's, where I dined, and Lady Betty Butler coming in about 6, I was forced in good manners to sit with her till 9. Then I came home, and Mr. Ford came in to visit my shin, and sat with me till 11. So I have been very idle and naughty. It vexes me to the pluck, 7, that I should lose walking this delicious day. Have you seen the Spectator, 8, yet, a paper that comes out every day? 'Tis written by Mr. Steele, who seems to have gathered new life, and have a new fund of wit. It is in the same nature as his tailors, and they have all of them had something pretty. I believe Addison and he club. I never see them, and I plainly told Mr. Harley and Mr. St. John, 10 days ago. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.